Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be gym with you. And joining me to talk about NFL preseason betting, that is right, football is back, baby, is Frank Schwab, sports betting senior writer from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Frank, great to have you back on the show.
Rob, what's going on, man? How you doing? It's you know, when we talked a few weeks ago, we said, like, hey, football's around the corner. It's here. We have some football in our lives again, and the regular season's right around the corner. It's exciting, man.
So since there's football, we want to make sure that we create the correct mindset and process for ways that we can be betting on preseason football. And just a slight recommendation, I would probably be wise with the jelly beans that we're betting on these games as opposed to traditional full units when we're in the regular season due to the amount of uncertainty. So Frank, let's start with this. For preseason betting, what is your strategy? Because we know the biggest question mark is actually the amount of uncertainty.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, I scale it way back with preseason football, which is probably a good thing. I'm only betting a select amount of games. I'm keeping it very tight as where I find some edges. And it's hard to find edges. But I will say this. I think it's easier to find edges than it was a few years ago. Look, there was a time there, Rob, when I'd bet, I don't know, two or three preseason games out of 4 weeks just because I didn't have a feel for it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not one of these guys who is going to claim that I know every third and fourth stringer on every NFL roster. I cover this. I live this life, right? But I'm not – I think a lot of people who state that, some of them actually do, and I know those guys, and they really, truly do know the guys deep down in the roster. I don't, and I think a lot of guys who claim they do really don't. So I was never betting it because your fate was really resting on guys who you didn't know much about, not going to even play in the league. They're going to be off selling insurance in a few weeks. So I just, you know, let it go a little bit. And then Sean McVay happened. Sean McVay came in and basically, look, preseason football is the same for decades, where first game, it's a series. Second game, it's a quarter for the starters. Third game is the dress rehearsal. Fourth game, nobody played. McVay came in and said, I'm not playing my starters at all. We are not going to see one of my Rams starters this entire preseason. And then other coaches, because the NFL is one of those leagues where, well, we've always done it this way type of leagues. Rest of NFL coaches said, I like that. Yeah, we don't have to do it the way that it's been done since the 1970s. I'm going to sit on my starters too. So now I approach a preseason as, what is each team saying about how much their guys are going to play? And you can infer how serious some teams are about it, too. The Rams are not serious. I will never make a bet on the Los Angeles Rams in the preseason. I'll guarantee you that, because they don't care. They don't want to be there. They just want to get it done. They want to avoid injuries. So I think if you do the homework, or read guys like me and you do the homework on this, you can figure out, okay, this team is taking it seriously. This team just wants to get out of this game and move on to practice next week. And that's where the edges are, because I don't think sportsbooks have really caught up to that and done their work, honestly. So you'll see these massive point spread swings based on this information that comes out. If you can get ahead of that a little bit, or even after the swings, I still think sometimes there's value. I think that's where you bet preseason football.
All right, so looking at preseason lines, this week in week one, there is no line greater than 3.5, and the totals are ranging from 30 to 37.5. So we are sitting in a completely different reality. So one question I have for you, Frank, is there such thing as a key number in preseason betting? Because we're used to, of course, seeing the threes and sevens. And I think even now, as the 2-point conversion and more kickers missing extra points, that the 2.5 and the 2 is a little bit more interesting than it was previously. Is there preseason key numbers?
I wouldn't say yes, but I will say there's a lot more of, nobody wants to go to overtime. We have to keep that in mind, where if one actually becomes a relatively significant number in the preseason, is when you get to the end of these games. Some team, you know, it's 20 to 13. Some team scores with 30 seconds left. Usually, you know, teams are just going to go to overtime. No, they're never going to overtime, ever. Nobody wants overtime. Every coach in that situation is going for two, not kicking the extra points. So if you have a 1.5 or something, or even a 1, that does make a difference in preseason. I think that's the one significant change with the numbers. Otherwise, no, I still think it's the same. I still think you see a lot of threes and fours and sevens. I think that, that those are still the numbers I look for. But I also had one because of just that scenario where none of these players, none of these coaches, none of these fans, announcers, reporters, anybody wants to go to overtime.
All right, so the next thing that we look at, and a key thing is the starting quarterback playing? And for tonight's game, Daniel Jones looks like he's going to see some action. And on the flip side, Mac Jones looks like he is not going to see any action. And that has the Giants at -3 heading into this game. And of course, the sportsbook know these things, but just because Daniel Jones is active doesn't exactly mean that, oh, well, of course the Giants are going to cover, because it doesn't exactly work that way, because he might play one series, two series. He's probably not going to be playing a quarter. So how do we factor in the quarterback side of things? Because also, if you look at Buffalo, Josh Allen's not playing. The Colts are 1-point favorites.
Yeah, and that does matter. And it less in the first game, because even if these starters play, it's a series or two usually. I mean, does it really matter if Daniel Jones is playing a series or two? I don't really think it does, to be honest with you. Now, when we get deeper into it, when we get second game, third game, now you're playing a half into the third quarter sometimes, and whichever. And we have to figure out, too, this is something that I haven't done a good enough job with yet, because we're not there yet, but which teams use the second game as a dress rehearsal? Which teams use the third game as a dress rehearsal? Remember, we're in new territory where it got cut from four games to three. So, but for a first game like this, I don't take much stock into it, but I do take stock into, okay, Daniel Jones is playing. Why is he playing? Because Brian Daboll is a new coach. And if you read Brian Daboll's quotes, he's saying, we got to play. We got to play football. We got to understand our schemes. I'm a new coach. These are new players with me. We have to get reps. So that matters to me. But I will say, on the other, that game in particular is a layoff for me, because if you look, Bill Belichick is one of those guys. He's like John Harbaugh. He usually wants to win in the preseason. He has a great track record in the preseason. I think he's 49-36 or something like that. 9-2, if I'm right, the last three preseasons, not the last 3 years, obviously. We skipped a preseason there. But so Belichick is one of those coaches that does take the preseason seriously, wants to win. It doesn't blow it off, you know, altogether. So even though we have two competing forces here, Brian Daboll really wants to play hard because he's a new coach. He wants his guys to learn the schemes. But Belichick also doesn't just slough off the preseason. So that game in particular is kind of a stay away for me. Whereas if they were playing other teams, I'd probably be on each of those teams.
But I'm completely with you. But just because there's a new coach who wants to try, I don't think that automatically means that's the side you're going to want to be on, because there's also a brand new system that's getting put in there. So going up against an established coach versus one who's trying to come in and putting in a new system, that's the other wrinkle to this. And I think about the first game, the Jags versus the Raiders, and people trying to figure out what to do there and seeing that line flip towards the Raiders. And even if you're just looking at the coaching, the people who are on the Jag side of things is like, all right, brand new regime. We're going to change the culture. This is going to be different. And then there's the other narrative that you can create is, well, Josh McDaniels has been here before. He's done it. He might want to be doing the same thing. So it's something to evaluate, but it is not something that is ironclad where you say, oh, well, this is a brand new coach. I'm automatically taking this team.
Absolutely. And I think that first game, look, it's a little bit of confirmation bias because I was on the Raiders. But when you looked at the quote, when you looked at just how they were approaching it, you could tell right away they had ruled out Lawrence and Etienne and basically said, we're going to be sitting a lot of guys. The Jaguars did. Whereas the Raiders, if you read Josh McDaniels' quotes, it was like, I want to get some things done in this game. I want these guys to kind of, you know, learn my scheme. And I want to, and you saw it in the game where McDaniels was running a lot of stuff that looked like, not necessarily preseason game number one, not even preseason game number one, like week zero, you know, Hall of Fame game stuff. He was running some stuff. So I think you're right. It's absolutely situational. It's not an autoplay. Just because a team has a new coach doesn't matter. That new coach might not care about any of this. But you can usually, and one time, Rob, it's funny, the coaches are obviously notoriously tight-lipped about everything. They won't give away any secrets, whatever. But when these beat reporters ask the coaches during the preseason, what is your plan on playing, guys? How are you going to approach this game? They usually get an honest answer. Not every team, but there are a lot of coaches out there who will just lay out the plan. Hey, we're going to play our starters the first quarter. This is crazy to me. If you look at the Lions-Falcons game, which I believe is on Friday, Dan Campbell called up Arthur Smith. They talked on the phone and were like, how much you want to play, guys? Like, This never happens anytime else, right? Like, this is nuts to me. But that's the difference between preseason. The information out there is completely different than it is in a regular season. And you can get some honest takes from coaches about, our starter's going to play deep into the first quarter, whereas another coach might be like, none of our starters are going to play. We don't want to risk the injury.
One piece of information that is out there for every single bettor in the world that has eyes and ears is the Ravens are 20-0 straight up, 18-1-1 against the spread in the preseason. You alluded to it. John Harbaugh likes to win. They're taking on the Titans. And right now, looking at the money line, you're seeing minus 180, minus 190. Spread on this game is -3.5. People are taking the narrative, whoa, Tyler Huntley, one of the better backup quarterbacks out there in the world. Not going to see a lot of other starters probably on either side of things. I'm on the Ravens money line in this game because I'm going to remove this spread completely from it, and I'm going to keep this party going. What are your thoughts on this? Because one of the things that's a narrative for me, for the last 3 years of doing this podcast, there is no such thing as free money. You think all the sportsbook right. operators out there that we're friends with, they're sitting there being like, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to make sure to give the public free money on this one. Yeah, we know they're 20-0 and 18-1-1, but we're not going to do anything about that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, I mean, you talk about no free money. We're on different sides here. I like Tennessee with +3.5 at least. Because here's what changed with the Ravens. The Ravens went 20-0, 18-1-1 against the spread the last few years. Then what happened last season? They dealt with the most injuries we have seen since Football Outsiders started tracking it since 2001. So a lot of buzz. John Harbaugh hasn't just come out and said this explicitly, but a lot of buzz from the Ravens camp is, hey, they want to kind of change things a little bit this preseason, not overextend their key guys, keep guys healthy going into the season. Because if you remember the Ravens last year, it started in a preseason. J.K. Dobbins went down in a preseason game, and then they lost a couple guys in practice. So I think they're dealing with preseason differently as a reaction to injuries last year. And so that Ravens team that went 20-0 in the preseason the last few years might not be the same approach this year because of the injury factor. That's why I'm on the Titans 3.5, because I think the line has adjusted a little bit for this. Everybody's heard by now. Anybody who cares about this stuff has heard about the Ravens streak by now. So I think the line is a little bit inflated with that. Tennessee, it's hard. Vrabel has not really come out and said much. He has said pretty much everybody's going to have a chance to play, which means nothing. He has not. He's one of those coaches that hasn't said much. But I believe that the Ravens just having a different mindset toward the preseason, that means the line is a little bit inflated based on what we thought of the Ravens, that 20-0 Ravens team, rather than a Ravens team that's like, let's just get to the regular season without injuries.
And I agree with you, Frank, and I actually think we can both be right in this, because that's why I'm not laying the 3.5, that I'm like, correct, you know what, here's a team that just wants to win, even though I completely agree that you look at it and they don't want to have injuries. So maybe that means the guys...
By the way, Rob, real quick, the Huntley thing is a really good argument. Like, you do, I think the one thing that when, you know, we talk about, I don't know third, fourth stringers. I do know the quarterbacks, you know, I mean, and that is a key thing. And especially teams I like in the preseason are teams that have quarterback competitions, because they got to play the quarterbacks longer, and they usually have two, maybe even three competent guys for that job. I'm not saying they're lighting the world on fire. They were great quarterbacks. They had the job wrapped up, right? But you look at like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to be looking at those Pittsburgh Steelers lines. I'm going to see what Mike Tomlin's saying about the rotation, because they got to get a look at Pickett. They got to get a look at Mason Rudolph, even, who's been the best guy in their camp from all the reports, and even Trubisky. So you got three competent NFL quarterbacks who need time. That maybe that's 3-4 quarters of a game, and they're going to be playing seriously because they want to get a good look at those guys. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the Huntley point you made was great one, that yes, backup quarterbacks are the one thing you really have to include in your handicapping here, obviously.
As a Steelers fan, one little nugget to put in the back of everybody's head. The reason Mason Rudolph is seeing glowing remarks is because he's been in this system significantly longer than Pickett or Trubisky. So by design, he is supposed to be better. So the fact that, and I actually just read the article about this about 10 minutes before our podcast, it looks like Trubisky's 1, Rudolph is 2, Pickett is 3 right now in the pecking order. And if at any point Rudolph is not number 1, well, that should be a big little bell for you, because he should be better because he's in the system and the other two are learning. And yes, Mitch is what he is, but it's something to keep in mind as it relates to the preseason betting, and certainly in weeks 2 or 3, knowing that Rudolph, yeah, he's a backup, but I think with Huntley, you're looking for familiarity with a system. So someone who's been in there a long time that, yeah, it's easy to make fun of those guys, but when it comes to preseason betting, there might be some advantages we can take advantage or opportunities we can take advantage of. And one little nugget that I want to make sure to share, and you'd mentioned, hey, we don't really know tons of players that our second and third stringers. One thing that I have done for the last decade that has been a game changer for me in leveling up my college football knowledge and the players as it relates to the NFL draft and rookies is I've played college fantasy football for a decade. One, I love all things sports. It's why I host a sports betting podcast. Mm-hmm. But college fantasy is something that is very fringe. I know very few other people who even do this. But why in the world do I do this among other things? Yeah, it's fun. But it is the knowledge that you get when you play all colleges. So my team can be comprised of the running back from Utah, the quarterback from Houston.
That's a deep dive, man.
Well, it is a deep dive. But if you think about it, we already love fantasy and or betting. So if you're betting college football, you're like, well, it really helps to know who Jameson Williams is or the Georgia transfer to Alabama that's now the number one wide receiver for Alabama who's a junior. So you start to learn these things. And as it relates to one NFL draft prop betting. So a lot of people, they're just going to do their quick little research. But I've had history with a lot of these players for the longest time because I've been playing it from a fantasy perspective. And then we'll go to the next level. And I even think about a guy, Dan Orlovsky, who's now everywhere all over ESPN. He was a darling of fantasy when he was at UConn. So he was a player that he was very mobile. I knew who he was. He goes to the Detroit Lions. Did I capitalize off of that? No. But I am a lot more aware of these players. So for someone like me, I'm like, oh yeah, I had that guy on my fantasy team for 2 years in a row. So this isn't a fantasy football diatribe. This is more on a, if you want to level up your knowledge for preseason or NFL betting, maybe get in a college fantasy football league. It's very low impact and it's super high scoring. It's a ton of fun and it'll really help out.
Yeah. And I think related to that, I mean, like, a bunch of people play preseason DFS and there's edges there where, you know, we talk about regular season NFL football, how many NFL fans are millions and millions and millions and millions. The information gap is nothing. Everybody knows everything about the NFL, including the odds makers. But if you want to put in time and study that stuff, like you said, like play a college fantasy league like that, deep dive like that. So, you know, every guy, you're going to know those guys playing in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game, you have an edge that nobody else is going to have, even the odds makers. And it's rare. It's rare in the sports betting realm to have that kind of information edge, especially with anything regarding the NFL. But you do, if you want to put the time into it, I don't have the time for that. I'll be honest with you. I cannot tell you I'm going to be breaking down guys playing in the fourth quarter on Friday night. Like it's just not what I do. But if you want to, like, you can have an edge, DFS, betting, whatever it is. It's a pretty small window, 3 weeks, but you can make some money doing it, no doubt about it.
And Frank, here's how I do so in a way that is easy. It's not up to me to find and create the information. I'm going to find the people who aggregate the information to then get it to me. So for example, the first thing that I would recommend, go ahead and buy Phil Steele's College Football Preview. It is the Bible of college football, breaking down every team, depth charts, all of this different stuff. And it's something that you can just casually have. So you're watching the SEC on Saturday and you're like, all right, I'm looking into these things. You can understand sports betting. It's a very gambling heavy thing. And then there's also college fantasy sites out there, actually just one, that'll actually just give you a breakdown of the top quarterbacks, running backs, receivers for each of these tiers. So all I have to do is literally read and you're like, oh, this guy's in a new system. They've got a new quarterback here, a new this. And you're like, oh, I'm formulaically doing it. Right. I'm not doing research on the second receiver from Houston. But if I can find someone that says the second receiver from Houston might be the second thousand-yard receiver from that school this year, now all of a sudden that's on my radar, and then you're like, oh, the guy from SMU turns out to be Emmanuel Sanders. And you're like, because that's how it ends up working, because you hear a guy, you're like, well, where's Emmanuel Sanders come from? Well, he came from SMU. He was the guy there, and there's a myriad of players that are so good in college that you can sort of bring it into what happens in the NFL. So I know that it was a side tangent, but we're about mindset and process. And this is the process that I've been using for the last decade.
Absolutely. And when you were talking about that, I was thinking, I bet Rob does pretty well with NFL draft props too. It's one of those markets where the information gap still exists between us and the odds makers, because they're not as sharp as they need to be on those props. And you can make money on those too if you are studying it, like you're talking about. If you are paying attention to people who are giving you this information, who are grinding, like you follow smart people, you win some money in that market too.
Yeah, imagine knowing who Zach Wilson is before he is the darling of the NFL draft, because you've been following BYU. It doesn't mean that we all thought he was going to be a top five pick, but at least you know who Zach Wilson is before the rest of the media just throws on the, oh my God, here's this guy. You're like, no, I've watched this guy. I have an informed opinion. Maybe that's a word. You have an informed opinion. We're not coming in at zero, or somebody else is telling you what they think.
Right, exactly. You already know all these guys. And, that's from us who live in this world of studying football 365 days a year. We do know, more than than most people who are just casually into it. But it's really when you get deep into weeds like that where you do find edges. And again, draft props, preseason DFS, the markets that people will scoff, like, oh my God, you bet preseason football? Yeah, I will if I have an information edge. I'm all about cashing tickets and trying to win bets here. If I think I have an edge of preseason football, heck yeah, I'm going to bet it. I usually don't, but the few times where everything lines up where I'm like, there's an edge right here, you can end up doing pretty well for yourself.
Frank, really enjoyed jamming with you. We've talked about NFL week one look aheads. We've talked about props and futures, and now we've talked about NFL preseason. You've always got tons of very insightful articles that you publish. Where can everybody connect with you?
The best play either on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab, or just yahoo.com/sports/NFL. There's always something going on, and especially for these next, what do we got, about 6 months? 6 months until Super Bowl, so can't wait, man. I talked about this. I do these team previews every offseason. This was the most fun I've ever had doing these team previews, because every team had some major change. We've never seen an offseason like this. I know we talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago, but it's really going to be interesting, especially early in the season, to see how these teams are so much different than last year.
And I want to hear from you. Will you be betting NFL preseason? And if so, what is your strategy? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to hit up at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.